Jesus is ever shining in my soul. This little light of mine. See, that was in there. This little light of mine. No matter how old you are, no matter how great you can become, Jesus is always shining in your soul. We just thank God for this opportunity today. Bless the Lord, all my soul and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. He is worthy of all glory, honor, and praise. I adore him. I give him all glory and honor. Everything that I am and all that I'm not, I give it all to him because he is worthy. He is worthy. He is worthy of all glory, all the honor, and all the praise. So today I just honor him. I lift him up. I give him glory. Thank you for this opportunity to stand before his people. Not only that, I thank God for even those that are watching in. Peace be unto you and may grace multiply. Now, I just like to go to the throne of grace and give him thanks and praise for just this time right now. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for being my good shepherd. I thank you for all the times that you have brought me thus far, Lord, and the times that was rough, Lord God, those things that was tough, Lord God. You was my light. You was my shelter. You was my refuge. You was my strength, Lord God. You was the only one that I was able to cry out on, Lord God. You are my good shepherd, Lord God. You are the Lord, and you are great all by yourself to this day, Lord God. We just humble ourselves in your presence and realize that we are your sheep, the sheep of your pasture, Lord God. Now open up your hearts and your minds of your sheep, Lord God. Open their hearts that they will receive your word, Lord God. For those that don't know you, Lord God, that haven't in tune to your voice, Lord God, allow them to hear your voice, Lord God. Allow them to get familiar with your spirit, Lord God, that your will can be manifest and it can be fulfilled in their life, in their darkest moments, Lord God. When the times where they can't reach out to no one else, you are always present, Lord God. You are omnipresent, Lord God. You are everlasting in your arms, Lord God, stretch wide, Lord God. Your arms are long and no one can penetrate you, Lord God. So we just give you thanks, honor, and praise today, God. Remove, Lord God, any sickness and stain or death, Lord God. Any sins, oh God, that may be in the midst of us, Lord God. We ask that it be removed right now in the name of Jesus, Lord God. That the ground, Lord God, be saturated with your presence, Lord God. That the anointing began to flow, Lord God, to destroy yokes, Lord God. That your will be done in your children's lives, Lord God. That eyes may be open, Lord God. That hands may begin to stretch forth, Lord God, and say, what must I do to be saved? Oh God, that those that are lame be able to walk, Lord God, towards you because you are the source of their strength today, God. And we just thank you and honor you, God, for being our Savior, for being our shepherd and our Lord, Lord God. We give you glory and honor today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. Hallelujah. To God be glory forevermore. He is worthy to be praised. First of all, we're going to go, and David must have acquired a relationship with God because he described Jesus as the good shepherd in Psalms 23:1. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. To make a bold statement like this, Jesus was very confident, greatly secure, and knew the good shepherd was trustworthy. David trusted the Lord in everything. David trusted God by saying, I shall not want. David knew everything he needed, or all his needs were met. He had an endless supply with God. No lack in money, shelter, food, clothes, water. The list goes on. Whatever he needed, God supplied. David goes on to say, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Two things came to mind, safety and comfort. When we lie down at night, we want safety. We can't rest unless we are comfortable. Right. We want to know everything is all right. Yeah. You can't sleep while knowing that things are Not right when there's chaos all around you. You just want, you can't sleep when there's unrest in your neighborhoods, on your job, in your kids' school system, in your city streets, in your state, country, and even in the world you live in. But the good shepherd tells David to lie down in green pastures. Good ground, good soil, rich land.
Come on now.
Sounds to me like land of peace. Safety and comfort. You can even feel the safety in the description. You can imagine there was fresh breeze of blowing with clear blue skies and not even a cloud in sight. Snoozing in a good place to rest. David goes on to say, he leads me beside still waters. Another place of peace. This can be translated in two ways, spiritually and physically. Spiritually, the heavens are still waters. And physically, water that you see and drink. Physical waters. Water relaxes you. It calms you both physically and spiritually. It calms your thirst buds when you're thirsty. It calms you spiritually when you are in it, just floating or meditating. The disciples didn't think so when Jesus was on the boat, asleep. In a deep sleep, all in the heavenlies, at peace. When the storms came ripping the boat to and fro, the disciples were frantic because the winds and the waves were so strong. The waters were rough and tough, but Jesus, as the good shepherd, spoke to the winds and the waves, "Peace, be still." David goes on to say, he restores my soul. He speaks about that deep and dark secret place, that place where only God knows, that place where, like, you hide all your mess, that place where you store all your hurts, that place all your wrongs are, and your failures, all your disappointments, all your heartbreaks, the core of your heart. The songwriter makes it plain. I am broken into pieces, but he loves me and he cares. You know the rest. Jesus, the good shepherd, had to put us back together. If you've ever been broken, ever been heart shattered into pieces, just know that God is the potter and we are the clay. Yeah. Yeah. Call out on Jesus when you're hurting. Call out when you're frustrated. Call out when you are broken. Jesus hears you. Jesus answers. And Jesus, the good shepherd, has put us back together again. When our loved ones hurt us, when our mother and our father, when our sister and our brother, when our cousins and uncles and aunts, when our friends and strangers hurt us, when the job has disappointed us, when the world has failed us, when we can call out on the Lord and we can call on the good shepherd. Lord, I am broken. Lord Jesus, fix me. Lord Jesus, help me out of this mess that I'm in. Get me out of this situation. Get me out of this circumstance. Get me out of this broken relationship I'm in. This dead-end job I'm working on. Lord Jesus, I need you to restore my soul. I came to find out that the good shepherd can restore my soul by facing my mess. See, you don't have to run from it. He tells you to face it. Jesus restores. He don't throw you away just because we think we are a mess. No. We are his sheep. And he knows how to tend to his sheep. He restores those relationships you thought wouldn't work and was broken. The Lord fixes them. Jesus gives us the solution. His example of forgiving others by being compassionate to others, by being peaceful towards all manner of men, by being patient, by having self-control. All this is the good shepherd restoring your soul, keeping you from exhaustion, keeping you from being overwhelmed, keeping you from being tired of being sick and tired. Just Jesus restores the soul when you let him work things out the way he wants to work. David goes on to say, he leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. It is important that we reflect the good shepherd glory, his mercy, his faithfulness, and his goodness. We are on a path that is plain, straight, and safe. His path is truth and holiness. And by his spirit, he inclines and enables us to choose those ways and to walk therein for his name's sake. Psalms 25 and 10, all the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. I can go on to say in verse 2, for thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquities, for it is great. Heavy is my sins before the Lord. I am a filthy wretch, and my ways are wretched. But the Lord has made me righteous. Jesus paid the price for our holiness. The blood is what saved us all from death and destruction. The blood is what pardons us. It speaks on behalf of my filthy ways, my nasty attitude, my past wretchedness. Jesus had to come and save the lost. He saved me, set me free, placed my feet on a solid rock. I stand. I was standing trembling in my mess before a holy God that loves me, who is excellent in all his ways. Great is the Lord. Glory and mighty is his acts. He is filled with majesty and power. Great is the Lord. Glory belongs to God in the highest heavens. Glory and honor is due his name. Lift up the King of glory in this place. David goes on with confidence to say, even when death is creeping up, die. Yes, though I walk, yea, do I walk through the shadows, through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Life can take you down some dangerous paths, alleys, and roads, down some dark and low moments you thought was impossible to get out of, but the Lord being on your side made it through. Death is just a shadow when the good shepherd is present. Glory. Yes, yes, glory. He's the light. Ha. Yeah, glory to God. We have to walk through the valley of the shadow because it's a place. Jesus knew this very well. He wanted to avoid this three times, but out of obedience to the God the Father, he humbled himself. He endured the cross of Calvary. He accomplished the mission. Congratulations to the class of 2020, from the youngest to the oldest. I mean, from the youngest to the oldest. Yeah, because you could be 75 still graduating from college. So, or you can be 88. I've seen this present. I've seen an elder walk across the stage, you know, in her old age and received her degree. So congratulations to the class of 2020. May you be blessed for accomplishing everything and graduating in the class of 2020. I'm also reminded about the Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Yeah. These brothers were truth. They were the truth, bold and confident in good. I mean, and in God to the point of death. That even fire had to bow down to God. The king's orders were defeated that day due to the courage these brothers displayed by going through the valley of the shadow of death. Jesus was on the scene as David described. Jesus was on the scene as David described in verse 4 of Psalms 23. For thou art with me. Jesus was with David during his valley lows. He comforted David. David was confident with God that God would never leave him nor forsake him. God gives you his word and his spirit as a comfort. We can trust he don't break them. Heaven and earth will pass away, but God's word will stand. David experienced the word being a light. The word is a light lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. David learned to trust in God as his word, in his word. He lived in caves for many years running for his life. He listened. There you go. He listened to the voice of God many times when he wanted to kill his enemies. He had the opportunity, but he was obedient to God. God is a God of order. He is the same always. He never changes. He never sleeps nor slumbers. Death sleeps, but God don't. He is everlasting life. No force can penetrate him. He is God all by himself. The Hebrew boys came out the fire victorious. The king saw four people and confessed that he saw the Son of Man there ever before his time. David confirmed even by saying, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." My question today is, do you know the voice of God? Do you know the good shepherd? Has he spoke to you even? Has he even spoke to you and confirmed that you are his sheep? Has something happened you know couldn't have been? Nobody but God. Right. Nobody but the Lord speaking to you. Yeah. Well, this is something that you can build on. Your faith can start there to knowing God's voice, learning to trust in his voice in every area of your life. We put too much trust in man that we lose confidence in God. God is saying, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. But in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Because being on the run and sitting low, David goes on to say, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Getting bread and running is stressful and difficult, and a difficult task. Most of the enemies have the advantage. It has the freedom to move and have more open territory. The runner has limited access due to sitting low, waiting for the right time to move. But God made a way out of no way for David. He fed him in the presence of his enemies. David ate good, not just a plate, but a spread, a table, plenty of food, good eating. That's all the same for us as believers. That's the same for us. God blesses us in the presence of our enemies to pay our bills, to pay our car notes, to be able to have money in your pocket, and even to bless your enemies. That's why they are present. They can see the goodness of God shining on your life like new money. You don't even get it the illegal way. But the ways of the Lord make it rich and add no sorrow with it. Righteous living, holy living. David goes on to say, thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. David has to stay humble because these blessings are flowing like new money. All full, a full spread of good eating. And now God anoints him, covers him, seals him, protects him, keeps him, feeds him, comforts him, provides for him, leads him. His heart is overflowing with God's love. His spirit is full of joy. Jesus' blood does the same for us. It covers us. It seals us. It protects us. It provides for us. It even speaks for us. It assures us that we can overcome this world or anything through faith in Jesus Christ. 1 John 5:4 says, for whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. David concludes by saying this, surely, surely, as Elder would say, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Surely, after going through all that the Lord being by his side, meeting his needs, lying him down in green pastures, leading him beside still waters, making his pathway straight for his name's sake, walking through the valley of the shadows of death, fearing no evil, being comforted with the word and the spirit, preparing a table before him and even a spread before his enemies, anointing his head with oil. All these blessings of God's love through his son Jesus, David says, surely goodness and mercy follow me. And his heart desire was to be with God forever in his house. Glory be to God. Amen. Thank you.
The Lord is my shepherd. You got to take your relationship with God personal. The Lord is my shepherd. As if God didn't shepherd nobody else, David took it personally. The Lord is my shepherd. I've seen families where siblings would be in the same household. It'd be 5, 7, 8, 10 of them in the house. But they would say, my mama. They say, my mama. They got 6 or 7 brothers or sisters. But they don't say, our mama. They say, my mama. Why? Because they take it personal. They know it on a it's a personal level. And so now David is saying, you know what? Y'all may know God, but let me tell you this. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You got to understand, when you take it personal, when you take it personal, you know who God is for yourself. You know that God is the one who's been taking care of you. You know that God is the one that's been owning you and keeping you and holding you. You start to talk like that. The Lord is my shepherd. You start saying stuff like, my God. You start saying stuff like, my God, my shepherd, my Lord, my King. Because you take it personal, because you have a personal relationship. God ain't somebody that's all out there up in the air somewhere. No. You say, my God. You learn like to be like Paul. You say, my God shall supply all my needs. You got to get personal with God. How's your relationship? Is God some far off distant God that sits up high who punish you when you do wrong? Or is he your God? My God. My Father. The Lord is my shepherd. And if he's my shepherd, here's what I know. I don't want for nothing. I don't want for nothing. Because he is my shepherd. When I was a kid, when I was a little boy, and Elder Strayhorn, my daddy, I didn't want for nothing. Hello. Hello. I didn't want for nothing. There's some stuff that I may have wanted that I didn't need. But I didn't want for nothing. Why? Because he was my daddy. Now that I'm older, Elder's gone. He taught me to lean on God. He said, because daddy ain't going to be here always. When I left for college, he said, daddy ain't going to be on that campus always, Christian. Mama ain't going to be on that campus. You got to learn how to have a relationship with God. And say, the Lord is my shepherd. I don't want for nothing. Because he's my shepherd. Come on, y'all give Minister Percy another hand of encouragement. Bless you, man. Bless you. Bless you. Bless you. That's one of them straight scripture preaching right there. I'm gonna let the word do the work. Amen. Just stand right here. Amen. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. Amen. Praise God. But you know what? In all of that, somebody might be saying, you know what? What must I do to be saved? What must I do to have a relationship with God? How do I get to the point where I start to say, the Lord is my shepherd? When do I get to the point to say, my God shall supply? How do I have this personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Well, Jesus said, the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He said, but I am come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He's talking about the door of your heart. If any man, woman, open up their heart and let me in, I will come into him and I will sup with them and they will sup with me. In other words, the Lord want to come into your life and be your best friend. A friend that will stick closer than any brother. I don't know if you have a relationship with the Lord or not. With all eyes closed, every head bowed. Every eye closed, every head bowed. Just listen to my voice right now. If you're here in this place and you need Jesus as your Lord and Savior, just raise your hand right where you are. Hallelujah. I see you, my brother. I see you, my sister. Amen. And if it's your desire to have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you just repeat after me. He didn't make it complicated, for salvation is free. So say these words and mean it in your heart. Just repeat after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner, and I repent of my sins. I believe you are the Son of God. I believe that you died on a cross. I believe you rose on the third day with power of heaven and earth in your hand. Come into my heart, Jesus, and save me. Help me to be the kind of person you want me to be. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you said that little prayer and you meant it in your heart, guess what? You're saved. Come on, give the Lord a praise right now. Hallelujah. If you